Okay, we're going to start here at the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet, by the two dots, three lines from the bottom. Hufa, the Gemara is going to go back and investigate the statement we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, which was Rav Shmuel d'Amrei Tavayu, Kol she'esh bo mechameshet haminim, mevarchim alav v'rei minei mizanot. Anything that has one of the five grains in it, the five grains cannot be subverted, and they automatically become the ikar in the mixture, and you make the bracha on them, which is v'rei minei mizanot. Now, v'idmar nami, we have another statement from Rav Shmuel, which is Rav Shmuel d'Amrei Tavayu, anything that's made of the five grains, you make a bracha of berei minei mizanot. The difference between them is very small, but one says kol shehu, and one says kol sheyesh bo. So Gemara wants to know why I need both of those. V'tzricha, I need both of these statements. Di ashmin and kol shehu. Have I just had the statement of kol shehu? Av amina mishum de'ete be'ene. Because it's there, it's physically present, you can see it. If it was mixed in with something else, lo, then it would not remain the ikar. As long as it has some of the chamesh aminim in it, then you do make a bracha b'rei minei mizanot. So it doesn't actually have to be visible or obvious that there's five grains in there. As long as the five grains are in there, you will make a b'rei minei mizanot. If you had told me the statement of kol she'eshbo means that anything that has it in there, hava mina, kol she'eshbo mechameshet aminim in. If it has in the mixture one of the five grains, fine. Aval orez v'dochan, lo. When it comes to rice and millet, no. Mishum da'yedei tarovet, because it's mixed together. Aval ete behene, if it was physically present, neima afilu orez v'dochan, nami varchan ala borei minei mizonot. That even for rice and millet, we would make a bracha of b'rei minei mizanot. K'mash v'lan, kol shehu mechameshet aminim. Udu mevarchim ala b'rei minei mizanot. Only if it's from the five grains we make a b'rei minei mizanot. Tafuke orez v'dochan. That comes to exclude rice and millet. Afilu ete b'ene. Lo mevarchim b'rei minei mizanot. Even if they are present and you can see them, we don't make a bracha of b'rei minei mizanot. The Gemara is going to investigate that in one second. In terms of what orez and dochan is, Rashi translates orez as meal, maybe closer to millet. And if you look in Tosafot, he says, yesh mefarshim rizo. I don't know if that he's referring to rice. I don't know if that's the meaning of the word there. And then they say dochan is meal, which is millet. So that makes the reason I'm translating orez, we know is rice, but dochan we're translating as millet. So now the Gemara asks, v'orez v'dochan lo mevarchim b'rei minei mizanot? Is that really true? But rice and millet, you don't make a berei minei mizanot. V'atanya, we have a breita. Heviu lefanav pat orez upat dochan. He has in front of himself bread made out of rice, or bread made out of millet. Mevarech alav tchila besof maseg teira. The bracha before and afterwards are like something that is made in the pot. V'gabe maseg teira, that which is made in the pot. Tanya, we have a breita. B'tchila mevarech alav Barei minei mizanot. So, from Berchala, bracha achat mein shalosh. You do make barei minei mizanot in the front end, and the back end you make an alamichya. Mar says, ki maseik deira. It is similar to the maseik deira, something that's made in the pot. Vilo ki maseik deira, but it's not exactly like it. Ki maseik deira demarchim alav tchila v'sof. It's like maseik deira that it requires a bracha before and afterwards. Vilo ki maseik deira, dilu maseik deira tchila barei minei mizanot, l'sof bracha achat mein shalosh. Because when I say Deira, the brachot are Barei Minei Mizanot and Ala Michia. Vilu Hocho, here by the Orez and the Dochan, Tchila Mavarech Alav Shehakol Niyem Bivaro. Or the Sof, in the beginning you make the brach of Shehakol. In the end you make the brach of Barei Nefashot, Rabot V'chesronan, Al Komash Shibara. It's interesting over here that Tosafot gives some explanation to that brach. He says, if you tap Tosafot, you can see, Barei Nefashot, Rabot V'chesronan, Kamo lechem v'mayim. Shi'efshar b'lohim. Essentials, necessities. So that's what it means. Borei nifashot rabot v'chesronan. Their needs, their absolute necessities. V'alko ma'ashir bara. And then the continuation, which is everything that you created. N'achayo b'em lev shkochai k'lom ha'ko ma'ashir b'olam sh'gamim lo baram. Things that in the world, as you not created them, yicholim alom lechiyot. They're not absolute necessities, they're rather luxury items. Shlo baram kim letanog ba'alma. For enjoyment, kamo tapuchim, like apples. They're basic necessities, bare necessities, that the world absolutely needs. And those are the, v'rei nefashot rabot b'chesronan. And then the akomash bara, those are not absolute necessities, but the other items that people eat, use, utilize, enjoy, but they're not absolute necessities. Is that conclusion that we just had now, that you make a sha'akol on the orez and dochan and a borin afashot afterwards, is that a correct assumption? Orez lav masek derahu. Right now we've said that orez is like masek derah, but it's really not. Is that true? Vatanya, Elohein masek derah. These are examples of things that are made in the pot, on the stove. Chilka, tragis, solet, zariz, varsan, v'orez. Different items. Rashi explains that the difference between the chilka, the tragis, the zariz, and the arsan, there's a number of times that the wheat kernel is split. And the chilka is, from the word lechalik, is the metavre, basita, chad letarte. Split one into two. Tragis is chad letlat, into three, probably from the word try. Zariz is chad ala arba, is one into four. And our son is a chadad chamesh, is one into five. The simpler translation is that these are types of groats, and that the chilka is a spelt groats, tragis is
a mess of wheat and
barley groats, zariz is some form of porridge or broken grain, and the arsan is barley groats, a mixture. And we're going to bump into it in the second half of the daf. Then orez, obviously, is the last example over here, rice. Hamani, where it says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. You're right. Rice here is included in Masek Dera, because this is authored by Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Tanya, Vibraita. Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, orez, mindaganhu. Orez is one of the grains. Bechayavin al chimutzo karet. And if you make it into chametz, you'll be chayav on Pesach. Adam yotzei bo yidei chuboto b'Pesach. And the other side of that coin is, if it is can become chametz, then you can use it for your matzah on Pesach. Av Rabbana, no, but the Rabbana disagree. So that bright is authored by Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who sees orez as one of the, well, now it's six grains, and the Rabbana disagree. Rabbana, no, and Rabbana don't agree with this. Vatanya, akoseis et achita. Someone who's chewing on wheat kernels. Mivarei chalav borei peri ha'adama. Tachana, afa ubishla. He ground it up, baked it, made it into bread. Then afterwards, bishla, then cooks it again. After it's bread, he cooks it. Bizman shaprusot kayamot. When the prusot, the pieces of bread, are still there, they're still present. Tchila mivarei alea amotzi lechem in aretz. Then you have to make a motzi in the front end. So, in the end, you bench Birkat HaMazon, you may not brusot kayamot. If the bread that you cooked after you baked it is now disappeared, it's broken up to the point that you can't see it, then it's a Birkat HaMazon in the front end, back end, that it's an ala michia. I'm going to wait on this issue of these brusot, because the Gemara is going to come back to discussing bread, and we'll see the definition of these prusot on the second half of the daf. Kuseis et ha'orez, and then someone who's chewing on rice. V'vareich alav borei pri ha'adama. Again, this is raw rice. The person is chewing on the raw rice. Then the borei pri ha'adama is the front end. Tachano afa'o ubishlo. He then grinds it into flour, bakes it into rice bread. Ubishlo, and then he cooks it. Afa pisha prusot kayamot. Here, even if it's still extant in the mixture, in the beginning you make a berei minzenot, in the end you make a ala michya. Mani, who's the author of this braita? Ilema Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, we would like to say that it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, but the problem is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, damar orez min daganu. Orez is one of the grains. If that's the case, the ratio and seifa of the braita should have been exactly the same. If he thinks it's one of the grains, then the din of orez should be the exact same din as the chita. Why is there a different din for orez than there is for chita? But then it should be amotzi lechem in aretz, ushlosh brachot v'ayibruchei. Should have amotzi and benching, birkat hamazon, because it's a full-fledged grain. Elolav rabbanon, he who distinguishes between orez and chita, the Rabbanon. And here you see that the Rabbanon are saying that the bracha in front is Borei Minei Mizenot, and the back end bracha is Ala Mechia. V'tiyufta d'Rav Shmuel tuyufta. This is a strong refutation of this position of Rav and Shmuel, that there are only five grains. Over here, it sounds like there is a sixth grain called Orez. Now, the first thing in this Tiyufta is to note is that it seems, and that's what Tosafot points out over here, Aval Dochan lo avi Tiyufta. The Gemara is only asking the question from rice, not from millet. And for this refutation of Rav and Shmuel is only with regards to rice. Bevshar davi hilchata kabatayu. V'lo mervachin alei barim minei mizanot. And the lacha might be like Rav and Shmuel with regards to Dochan, and by millet, you would not make a barim minei mizanot in alamechia. Because the Gemara's questions all stem from Orez. All the brightot, everything that we brought to challenge this position of Rav and Shmuel was all revolving around rice, not around millet. So they say, let's leave millet out of the picture right now, because it seems like they are right with regards to millet. The only question will be with regards to rice. What's interesting, Tosfot over here introduces a very interesting idea. The Gemara here says that a kosei setachita, one who's chewing on raw kernels of wheat, when they pluck them out of the field and he's chewing on them, they make a borei pri hadama in the front end. And what's your bracha achrona? Right. So we thought it's borei nefashot. Over here, Tosfot says, miu. Be'acharav yesh in the safik. Because the Braita only addresses, when it says a kosei chita, it tells you what the bracha rishon is. And then it moves on to the case where you baked it and then cooked it and gives you the bracha rishona and achrona. What happened to the bracha achrona for hakosei tetechita? So Tosfot here has an unbelievable havam, you know? And it says there's a safek. What do you make afterwards? Im barachim ala mechia v'alkalkala u'misayim. Do you make a bracha main shalosh? And listen how he wants to end the bracha. Ala adama v'al pri ha'adama. We only have three manifestations of the bracha main shalosh. We have ala mechia v'alkalkala, ala gefin v'al pri ha'gefin, v'al eitz v'al pri ha'eitz. He says maybe there's a fourth version of this bracha, which is ala adama v'al pri ha'adama, because chita is one of the shivat aminim. It should require a bracha main shalosh, but how could you end it? How are you going to end the bracha of bracha main shalosh if you're chewing on the chita and you're making a bori pri adama up front? Anything you make a bori pri eitz on, you make an ala eitz val pri eitz. So here, maybe you should make a bracha of ala adama val pri adama. V'rabbeinu tam higia mamachzor shalo. Rabbeinu tam added into his siddur, ala adama val pri adama. He had a fourth version of the ala mechia. V'chazar bo. But then he changed his mind. The lashkan shum makom hach bracha. There's nowhere in Chas that the Gemara ever mentions any formulation of ala adama val pri adama. And then Tosfot deals with other proofs, points from the Gemara, and then he notes that it might be actually a safek in the Yerushalmi, the same type of safek, what bracha you make afterwards. It's just amazing, the Havamina, that there should be a fourth version of this Alamechi of Ala Adama Ve'al Pri Adama.
There are some brachas that you have like that, which some people knock out, like Remissible,
okay? We have a number of brachas that aren't found on the chest. The one, the most prominent, is L'hadlik Ner Shav Shabbat, bracha that's not found in Chas. It's machloket, and time to go on him, whether you make a bracha on Erev Shabbat. They have L'hadlik Ner Shav Chanukah, but never any L'hadlik Ner Shav Shabbat. There are certain brachot like that, which are really prominent, that are not mentioned at all in Chas. So that's not necessarily a definitive proof that we don't say such a bracha. But any time that happens, there's controversy, if it's not mentioned in Chas. Amar Amar, Kuseisa Techita, Mevarech Allah Borei Pri Adama, V'atanya Borei Minei Zira'im, Lokasha, have Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbana. This goes back to Rabbi Yehuda who mentioned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda requires a more detailed bracha when it comes to these subsets. It's not al yirakot. This is from our Mishnah. Omer borei pri adama. Rabbi Yehuda omer borei minei disha'im. So Rabbi Yehuda requires a much finer distinction in the bracha, and that'll be the same here with the kosei set techita. Instead of borei pri adama, you'll say borei minei zira'im. Amamar kosei set orez marechala borei pri adama. One chews on the rice, makes a first bracha borei pri adama. Tachano, afo, ubishlo, fi, grinds it up, bakes it, and then cooks it. Afo, pisha, prusot, kayamot, even if they're intact in there. Tchilam, avarecha, labarei, minim, zanot, lusof, bracha, achat, mein, shalosh. Vaha, tanya. Then we have a braita, ulusof, velo, klum. And afterwards, you don't make any bracha. Now, velo, klum, in the Gemara, does not mean not at all, but rather means, borei, nefashot. You can see that in Rashi, velo, klum. Klomar ain't told me a berkat perota Eretz Israel does not require one of the brachot of the produce of Eretz Israel velo klum ela borei nefeshot rabot chomide delete mishivat aminim, like anything else that is not from one of the seven species. Heard from Rav Meir Lichtenstein, and there's very good proof to this in the Torah in Parshat Ekev. Bracha is associated with the land of Israel, and therefore, at least at the time of the Tanaim, the brachot that we know of in the time of Tanaim, all are brachot that focus on Eretz Yisrael, produce of Eretz Yisrael, the Shivat Aminim, bread, all those items. And the bracha is not necessarily a bracha on the item that you're eating, but rather on Eretz Yisrael. Thank you to Hashem, especially the bracha achrona. I mean, bracha rishona might be slightly different, but in the bracha achrona is thank you to Hashem for giving us the land that gives us this produce. And so it's very focused and revolves around the land. A bracha achrona is like what the Gemara says over here, and every Tanaic work is velo klum. There is no bracha achrona for items that are not necessarily related to the land. Orez here is not one of the Shivat Aminim, and therefore the bracha achrona is going to be velo klum. What else is like that? Basar, chalav, all these items that are not necessarily connected to the land. There was no bracha achrona. It's really more in the time of the Amoraim, wherein if Asher comes up as a bracha rishona in the Tanaim work, but does not come up as a bracha achrona. Only in the time of the Amoraim do you start to see Barayin of Ashot enter as a bracha achrona. And that's probably because of two developments. One is the development of Galut. If it was the fact that the brachot were connected to Eretz Yisrael, once people were in Galut, then it was less relevant, then you weren't going to be making brachot, because you're not on the land. And number two is probably the change in profession. As people moved away from being agrarian, then the likelihood of one making a bracha on the land becomes even less likely. And so therefore we enter in with the brachot where meat, milk, and brachot achronot become prominent in other items besides those that are the Shivat Aminim, those that deal with the Aretz. And that's why you'll see in every Tanaic work where you don't have a bracha achrona of alamichya or benching, they always say, basof velo klum. There is no bracha achrona at all. And probably in the time of the Tanaim, that really meant nothing at all. Because we were in Eretz Yisrael, and it was about thanking Hashem for Eretz Yisrael. That became, later on, translated by the Amoraim to mean, L'sof L'klum, means a bracha that is not the main formula, which is either bracha shalosh or bracha me'in shalosh, but rather into Borei Nefashot. And that's what Rashi mentions over here. So Rav Sheshi Lokasha, Rav Gamliel V'Rabbanon. Difference between whether the bracha achrona is alamichya or Borei Nefashot has to do whether it's Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbanon, the Tanya. Zeaklal, koshu mishivat aminim, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, shalosh brachot. Gamliel says that you say a full birkat amazon on any one of the seven minim. Chomim amrim, bracha achat, mein shalosh. They say alamechia. Maise ben Rabbi Gamliel v'azakenim, mishayu mesubim b'aliyah b'richo. They were eating in an upper level, in a place, in a house in Yericho. V'evil ifnem kotvot. They brought before them dates. V'achlu, and they ate them. V'natan Rabbi Gamliel reshut the Rabbi Kiel v'reich. Rabbi Gamliel hands off the bracha to Rabbi Akiva. Kafatz u'birech Rabbi Akiva brachachat ein shalosh. Rabbi Akiva jumps and says an alamichya. Of course, Rabbi Gamliel, when he gave him permission or granted him the right to say the bracha, what was Rabbi Gamliel expecting? Rabbi Gamliel's shita is that if you eat one of the Shivat Aminim, you have to bench. He's expecting a full-fledged birkat amazon here. And Rabbi Akiva doesn't. He jumps in and says in Aleitz Valpriyaitz. Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, Akiva, ad matay ata machnis roshcha ben amachloket? What are you sticking your head into this disagreement? Clearly, Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim were arguing about this. And now Rabbi Akiva is taking a position, and the position's against Rabbi Gamliel. Amalei Rabbeinu, afo pisha ata merkein. I know, I'm aware of the fact that you say the bracha should be a full-fledged birkat amazon here. V'chavercha omrim kein, dimatanu Rabbeinu. You've taught us, Yachid v'Rabim, Alachik v'Rabim. I now have to make a decision. I know your opinion, and maybe there are others like you, but I know that the majority is against you. And therefore, I have to follow the majority. And in following the majority, I'm going to have to say, Aleitz v'Alpriyaitz. Rabbi Huda, Omer Mishmo. Rabbi Huda says in the name of Rabbi Gamliel.
I think Rabbi Gamliel knew that. Why was he asking?
Maybe, because in front of your Rebbe. It happens in other places in Chas, where someone disagrees. So the later generation is going to paskin the Rabbim. But when you were in front of your Rebbe, you kept, or if it was he was the Marad Acher there, then you kept their position. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo, Rabbi Yehuda says over the name of Rabbi Gamliel, Ko shehu mishivat aminim, anything that is from the seven species, velo min daganhu, and it's not one of the five grains, o min dagan velo atza upat, or it's one of the five grains, but he didn't make it into bread, then you have to bench on it. Chamim orim bracha achat. You make a bracha achat, mein shalosh. Kol sheinu lo mishivat aminim, velo min dagan. Anything that's not one of the seven species, and is also not one of the five grains, kagon, pat orez v'dochan, like bread that's made out of rice or millet. Or Gamliel omer bracha achat mein shalosh. Gamliel says that it's an alamichya. Mimarim v'loklum. Chamim say v'loklum. So this is what we were looking for before, which is, there's a braita that says the bracha achrona is v'loklum, is berei nefashot. So here we have the difference. Rabbi Gamliel thinks that over here the bracha for rice afterwards is an alamichya, and the Chachamim believe it's v'loklum. So b'mayu kimto. So what did you suggest now? That the braita that says that the bracha rishona is berei minei mizanot, and the afterwards is alamichya, is Rabbi Gamliel. Emos seifa dereisha. What are you going to do with the second half of that first braita? In a pesod kayamot, if the pat orez is not existent after you cook it, you can't see it anymore. Mani, who's the author of that position? Rabbi Gamliel says on kodvot, dates, and on daisa, some sort of farina, he says that you say full benching. Just because the rice bread is not intact, there you have to tell me that he's going to make an alamichya. He should definitely make it. He should bench. Why is that any worse than a kodvot? Why is that any worse than a date? Elabshita rabbanon. It's clear that that first breita is the rabbanon. Ihochi kasher rabbanon arabbanon. Now we have a stira in the rabbanon. Because that breita says for rice you make a borei minei mizanot, and afterwards you make an alamichya. And we have the rabbanon here arguing with Gamliel and say afterwards you make veloklom. That you make a brain of a shot. Eleolam Rabbanan. Tani Gabi Oris. Amend that original braita to say, over the sof, in my verechala veloklum. So amend that braita not to say that the bracha achrona is ala michya, rather the bracha achrona is brain of a shot. That comes to our practice today. The Gemara here only amended the bracha achrona. It did not amend the bracha rishona. If you do that, then you end up with a bracha rishona that is, brei mi name is a note, and a bracha achrona, which is barei nefashot, which is our practice today. Amar Rava, hai rihata dechaklai. And so this is something that's made out of honey, flour, oil, similar to the chafitzat hakdeira that we saw at the end of yesterday's daf. So this rihata dechaklai. Chaklai means the farmers, the agrarian, but here probably means those people that are out in the villages. The mafshibe kimcha, they put a lot of flour into it. Mevareich, barei minei mizanot. My taima. What's the reason for that? The smida ikar, because the flour is the major ingredient, the primary ingredient. The mechuza, mechuza is a large city. The lo mafshibe kimcha, there they don't put a lot of flour into it. Mevareich alav, shakol niyeh bidvaro. There you make the bracha rishona, shakol niyeh bidvaro, my taima. Dubsha ikar. There, the honey is the major ingredient, the primary ingredient. This is the machloket that we saw before with Chavitz Kedeira. We had a machloket between Rav Yehuda and Rav Kahana as to whether with the Chavitz Kedeira and the Daisa, whether you made a Shokol Niyeh Bidvaro or did you make a Borei Minei Mizanot. And the argument was whether the Dabash was the Ikar or was the flour the Ikar. So over here, no machloket, they just distinguish between whether it's in the city or in the village as to what is the Ikar. And the Gemara is going to say, wait a minute. Based on what we concluded before, from Rav and Shmuel's statement, that both of them require borei minei mizanot, because the Rav and Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, kol sheyesh bo mechameshet aminim, mevarken alav borei minei mizanot. That anything is from the five grains, you make a borei minei mizanot, even when it's not the ikar, even when it's not the primary ingredient, it cannot be subverted. The five grains cannot be subverted in any dish, and they always remain the primary ingredient, and you will always make the bracha based on them. Amar Rav Yosef. Now this next piece here is chavitz, this chavitza that we're going to bump into again. Machloket, Rashi, and Tosafot as to what this chavitza is, just starting out. Number two is this a gemara, an identical gemara to that which we had in Menachot. Reason is because the proof that Rav Yosef is going to bring to his position comes from Menachot. And that's why there it's found in Menachot. Over here it's found for the bracha side of it, on the chavitza. And then we have to determine, number one, what this chavitza is, and what implication this has, lo alocha. What I'll do is I'll read it in Rashi's position first, and then we'll go back. We'll show you why Tosafot does not like Rashi's position, and then we'll come back and explain it through the eyes of Tosafot. So, hai chavitza. This chavitza, Rashi writes, ke'ein shalikuk, shemefarim betocha yufis lechem. So Rashi basically says this chavitz kedeira is taking bread that is put into, whether it's the frying pan or into a pot, that is cooked afterwards. It's bread that was already baked, and now is either being fried or cooked. So that chavitza, di'ipa perurin kezayit, if it has pieces of bread that are the size of kezayit, pila marechalav motzi lechem min haaretz, you gotta make a motzi in the front end, l'sof marechalav shlosh brachot, birkat hamazon afterwards. Delayed bay perurin kezayit, if the pieces of bread that are left there are less than a kezayit, tchila marechalav borei minim zenot, first, the front bracha is Barim Nim Zanot, Ubisov bracha achat men shalosh. Alamechia on the back end. I'm Rav Yosef from Na'amin Allah. How can I prove to you that I'm right about this? Titanya. We have a braita, and this is from Minachot. Hayom Eid Umakriv Minachot B'Yerushalayim. He was standing there and bringing a mincha in Yerushalayim. So who's Haya? Rashi says that's Israel Omeid. There was Israel who brought up his mincha. Umakriv Minachot. Obviously, it's not the Israel that's being Makriv the Minachot. Then a Kohen is being makriv the mincha. So Yisrael brings up his mincha to Yerushalayim and gives it to the Kohen in order to be makriv it. Omer, Baruch Shechianu v'kiyamanu v'higianu lezman hazeh. Makes a Birkat Shechianu. Who makes this Birkat Shechianu? In Menachot, Rashi claims it's the Yisrael that makes the Bracha Shechianu. Over here, Rashi says that it's the Yisrael that makes it, the Balabait that makes the Bracha. In Menachot, he said that it was the Kohen, who, for the first time, was bringing a mincha on the Mizbeach. So here Rashi says the Yisrael makes the Shechianu. In Menachot, Rashi says it's the Kohen, who had never brought a mincha before. It's his first time bringing a mincha, that's just making a Shechianu. Tosafot disagrees with both of those, and says that the Shechianu here is the Kohen, who is going to be the first one to bring a mincha in his Mishmar. In the Mishmarot, they had 24 Mishmarot. That means, on average, you came twice a year to the Mikdash. And Tosu claims that something that happens mizman lizman, that something that happens on a regular interval, and since it happens as an interval, you make a Shechianu on it. Shechianu is something that is seasonal. And that's important, because today, I heard this in the Shem of Rabbi Willig, that when it comes to Shechianu, you make Shechianu on fruits because they are seasonal. Today, where fruits are no longer seasonal, they're bringing them up from South America, other places they import them, so that you can have the availability of fruits all year round, then maybe you shouldn't be making a Shechianu because they are no longer seasonal in nature. That's true in America. In Israel today, a lot of fruits are still very, very seasonal, and you only get them at certain times of year. There might be an Indian still making that Shechianu. But Shechianu has to do something that comes mizman lizman. Now you could be choker, and what does it mean, mizman lizman? Is it enough that simply it's something based on a time schedule, like the Mishmarot? Or does it have to be something where you're chayav, that you're obligated to do something at that time? In the interim, you're not chayav to do it. So that's a question that you have to ask, at least with regards to that. But this Tosfot makes is a big chiddush. Because it happens mizman lezman, because your mishmar comes up, even though it's a recurring item, and it's not really the zman that makes the mitzvah. The mitzvah to do the avodah of the mikdash exists all year round. It just happens to be that you're on a schedule that only brings you up twice a year. Nevertheless, Tosfot says that you make a shechianu on that, because it's mizman lezman. He takes them to eat them, meaning the mincha. Makes an amotzi on it. V'tani Allah. And we have on the issue of menachot, v'kulan potetan kizayit. When it comes to the menachot, after they are baked, they have a requirement of tita. Tita means to be folded over, and to make them into smaller pieces. Those pieces that you make them smaller into is a kezayit. So what do you see? The minimum shiur that's going to be in a mincha is going to be a kezayit. And that braita says, what's the bracha on it? The bracha on it is amotzi lechem min haaretz and birkata mazon. So Rav Yosef says, I have a proof. I have proof to the fact that if you have something that's the size of a kezayit, that you have to make a amotzi lechem min haaretz on it. So now, this is where Tosavot has the issue with Rashi. What was the case that we were speaking about before? The chavitza that Rashi, what does Rashi say chavitza is? Chavitza is bread that you afterwards took and either fried it or threw it into the pot. And now Rav Yosef is bringing a proof from menachot. What do you do with menachot? By a mincha, you bake it and then you potate it and that's it. Where is the parallel in the mincha to the chavitza? In the mincha, there's no cooking it afterwards. There's no frying it afterwards. So how is Rav Yosef being approved from a mincha if chavitza is really something that is cooked or fried after it was already baked? The two are not the same item. And for that reason, Tosfot says this chavitza is not fried or cooked bread, but rather chavitza is similar to what's found in, I think it's in Baba Kama, maybe Baba Metzia, that there they have chavitza de tamarim. Over there they have chavitza de tamrei, which is a cake of dates. Dates that are caked together. And he says the same thing here. Chavitza over here is where the breads are caked together. Hainu pirurim. These are breadcrumbs. Hanidbakim yachara yadei marak o yadei chalav. That are joined together either through some sort of soup or milk. And other Rishonim mention honey. That they have something that causes them to bind together. After they were bread and made into crumbs. They were breadcrumbs now bound together.
Tegelach.
Tegelach, yeah, something like that. Right. That's right, that's for Rosh Hashanah. So in that way, you can have the case here by Mincha be something that's parallel. Because here by the Mincha, it's something that afterwards they're potato to pitim, that you crumble it up, it's still being held together with the oil that is poured on it afterwards. Afterwards you pour oil on it. And that oil that's poured on it afterwards will hold it together, the pirim, the pieces together. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Yosef can bring a proof from an achot to the case over here. And this obviously has a big nafkamina, has a very big nafkamina lalocha. That means that if you have bread that is cooked afterwards, what is the qualification for being hamotzi? Alright, so now the Gemara continues. Amalei Abaye, El Ameyato. If that's the case, the Tana to be Rabbi Shmuel, the Sultan, that what you do is you crumble them. This petita is not simply folding them into pieces of kzayit, but rather means crumbling them back to being flour. Then you won't have to make a motzi on a mincha. If you say that's true, we have a brayta. You gather together from all of them a kzayit, and ate them. Im chametzu anush karet. If it is chametz, you'll get a chiyuv karet on Pesach. V'matzahu, if it's matzah, dam yotzei bo yedei chavato v'Pesach. You can use it to be the matzah for Pesach. So now this braita, what is it speaking about? Rashi claims, lakat mikulan means from the minachot. He has all these different minachot out there. He brings them together. And if he can put a kazayit together from all the minachot, even though they're from different minachot, he makes a motzianik because he got to a kazayit. Or, not a mozi, but it's chametz, or it could be matzah. Tosafot and the other Rishonim say, can't be Rashi, because menachot are never chametz. So how could it be a liket mikulam, and all of a sudden he has chametz here? There is no chametz in the Mikdash, except for the Shtei Alechem, and the Lachmei Todah. Over here we're talking about menachot. There is no chametz. And therefore, Tosafot says, and the other Rishonim say, it has nothing to do with menachot. This is a chamesh reminim. Liket mikulan means he brought together breads from the different grains. So even though they're not of one grain, he gets a kazayit together, some spelt, some rye, some wheat, he gets them all together, and he gets a kazayit out of that. That's what it means when he brought them together. So therefore, if they're chametz, even though they're made up of five different species, and it's a kazayit, that's fine. If it's chametz, you're chayav for it. If it's matzah, you're tzei, you're day Pesach with it. Is that really true? How do we answer? How do we reconcile between these two? In this case, we say that you will not make a birchat hamotzi on things that are crumbled down and then brought together. Our son. Here is a case where he put them back together. As Rashi says, he went ahead and he kneaded them back together again, and then he baked them again. He went through the process again. After it was crumbled down, they're reconstituting it as bread by being govel, by kneading it, and then baking it again. So in doing so, you're making it back to a whole entity. Making it back to a whole entity, that's why over there, you're chayav for chametz, and you're yotze with matzah, because then you've now made it back into a bread of sorts. Where it says, yochiyem seifa, then what do you need the latter half of that? Breita, v'hu she'achlam b'kdei achilat pras. That's only true if he eats all those pieces that he brought together to make a kazayit, if he eats it in the normal time it takes you to eat a half a loaf of bread. Half a loaf of bread, according to Rashi over here, is 4 beitzim, the size of 4 eggs. According to the Rambam, it's the size of 3 eggs. But a half a loaf of bread, that's the span of time that you're allowed to consider to be one eating. Rishamar says, v'ish ba'arsan, if you re-kneaded them and you make it into a single dough, what does it mean? Hai she'achlan, you ate them in plural. She'achlo mibaye. You ate it. There's only one item now. If you go back and knead it and bake it, you have a loaf of bread here. You have some sort of whole bread here. You don't have pieces and many pieces. So why are you talking about in the plural? You should be talking about in the singular form. It says, Hachabayaskina, and what's the case here? Biba mimelechem gadol. These pieces came from a larger piece of bread that is intact. So if you have a larger piece of bread that's intact, and then you have these crumbs that are near it, those crumbs have a din of a motzi. Because those crumbs are in the context of the larger piece of bread that's there. They are sourced from the larger piece of bread. So the Gemara says, my havi'olo, what's the din here? Amasheshet, hai chavitza, afagav delepe pirurin, kazayit. This chavitza even doesn't have pieces that are the size of a kazayit. Mavrechalav amotzi lechem min haaretz. You still make a motzi on it. Amarovo, v'hudikalei, torita, dinehema. Only if it still looks like bread. It still has some sort of form of bread to it, then that is true. But if it doesn't look like bread anymore, that is not true. So now based on this Gemara, the way we have it laid out, and I mentioned before, there's going to be a big difference between Rashi and Tosafot. Basically, our Gemara discussed a number of cases. Discussed a case of chavitza. Case of chavitza is where you have these pieces of bread that are somehow held together or bound together, whether it's by soup, by chalav, by milk, or by dvash, or by honey, they are held together. We also have a case of pirurin, just plain broken down pieces of bread, crumbs of bread. And we also have the case of mevashel, where you cook the bread after it's baked. What is the din in all of these cases? What's the conclusion from our Gemara about each of these cases? Well, it will depend on whether you're Rashi or Tosafot. Now, we had before in the Gemara also with the case of the baking that it prusot kayamot. What does it mean, prusot kayamot? Well, does prusot kayamot mean with a kezayit or without a kezayit? Well, it depends how you read chavitza over here. And so therefore, there's the Rabbeinu Yonah. He concludes here, he says that there are really three, and the Torah brings us down, the Mishnah Berurah also brings us down, he says, Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Savachet says, Akdim lezeh asif akdamak tzara. Let me give you a little introduction. V'hu, t'yesh b'shlosha ufanim. This chavitza has three manifestations. Pat, shipirer de perurim. There's a piece of a loaf of bread, a piece of bread that was crumbled. Ubishlo. And then it was cooked. Taloi b'zeh, im ha-perurim dolim, she'esh b'em gazayit. If these crumbs are the size of a gazayit, lo nitbatbel mehem shem pat. They do not lose the status of bread. Afilu im ha-yedei bishul, azal mehem toar lechem. Even if they no longer look like bread anymore. V'imein b'hem gazayit. And if they don't have a gazayit, afilu im nira she'esh lehem toar lechem, even if they have this view of bread on them, arech b'rei minim zanot, t'shem tamshil alehem, they become a tamshil. So this is like Tosafot, not like Rashi. Rashi in the end says chavitza, and this is the conclusion of the Gemara here, has to have torita denehema. Has to look like bread. That means that Rashi thinks that even when you cook it in a liquid, it has to look like bread. Over here, the Mishnah Berurah is clear that the only thing that matters when you cook it is that it is a kezayit or not a kezayit. And that's based on the Gemara. I said that you will get back to this. The Gemara before that said when you ground it down, then you baked it into bread and cooked it, it says, ima prusot kayamot, hamotzi. Im ein prusot kayamot, bere minim zanot. What is prusot kayamot and ein prusot kayamot? Those what says, kezayit. Based on Yerushalmi, it says that's kezayit. So the only qualification, that's what the Mishnah Berurah is quoting here, is kezayit or not kezayit. And that's against Rashi's understanding of our Gemara. Rashi's understanding of our Gemara is that chavitza requires Torah Dinehema also to look like bread. Over here we're saying only thing that matters by cooking the bread afterwards is whether it's a kezayit or not a kezayit. Second case. Imlo bishlo. You did not cook it. Rak shepirer bika'ara. That you did it in a plate or a bowl. You crumbled it up. V'nitchabru ha-perurim yachad. And now they're joined together, you date dvash or marak, with honey or soup. It's the case of chavitza for Tosafot. That's what Tosafot calls, claims is chavitza. There. Im yesh adayin aleim toar lechem, v'rech aleim amotzi. If they still look like bread, it's a brach of amotzi. Afilu im ein bapuririm kezayit. Even if the pieces of bread do not have kezayit. V'im ein bapuririm toar lechem, if they do not look like bread, v'rech aleim bapuririm kezayit. Then you make a bread when he's out. Elim kena yeperim kezayit, unless they are the size of a kezayit, and then you make hamotzi. Kenir le'el le'inyan bishul. So you have two qualifications. In this case, where the bread is crumbled down and then rejoined together, you have two possibilities. If it looks like bread, then the bracha is hamotzi. Doesn't look like bread, bracha is bereim, my name is enot. But even when it doesn't look like bread, if you have a size of a kazayit in there, then automatically it goes back to being a motzi. And that's what we just concluded in our Gemara. This is chavitza. This is Tosfot's chavitza. Chai chavitza, afobit delayt le piruin kazayit. Even though they're not breads the size of a kazayit, you make a motzi. When is that true? Dika lav tarita nehema, when it looks like bread. So if it looks like bread, you're going to make a motzi on it. Even if there's less than a kazayit. Obviously, if it's more than a kazayit, you don't have to look like bread, you have a kazayit. That's the second case. That's chavitza in our Gemara, according to Tosafot. The third case is shlo bishel. V'gam lo nitzchabru apirurim. Ayachar yidei mashkeh. Case where you crumbled it. They're not cooked and not brought back together with the liquid. Afilu me'apirurim dakim kesolet. Even if there is finest flour, what bracha do you make? Amotzi. The shame pat aleihem. That's what we just saw before in the Gemara. Debam ilechem gadol. Then when it comes from alechem gadol, there, the din is that the perurim still have a shame pat on them. They do not lose their shame pat, even if they're crumbled down, because they came from bread. As long as they started with, as bread, even if you crumble them down, they will remain with the shame pat aleihem. They remain and they're called bread, and you make a motzi on them. So bread crumbs. If they came from a whole loaf of bread and you crumble it down into these crumbs, they still have a din of a motzi.
Isn't matzah meal, for instance, always from matzah?
That's only peirurim. It's only a case where you didn't cook it, and you didn't bind it together with the liquid. You never do that. Nobody eats matzah meal just plain. But you're right. If you ate matzah meal plain out of the box, you'd have to make a motzi on it. Now, Tosfot talks about here, if you soak it in water. One of the Balei HaTosfot, Rav W. Mimetz, Lavbein Peirurim B'mayim. He used to put these crumbs, breadcrumbs, in water overnight. So in the morning, he could drink this liquid, and it would have a certain amount of satisfaction to him, so he could give shear. It was like a ensure. It's like creating a thick drink, so that he got, like, in one drink, he got all of his nutrition and nourishment that he needed, so that he could give shear in the morning. So over there, he wanted to suggest that that would not be hamotzi, because he soaked it in the water, even though the water was white. Nevertheless, it already had been soaked in water and loses its shame pat. So anyway, there's a summary of what we saw here. You see that we're not following the position of Rashi, rather the position of Tosafot and the other Rishonim. And from that you come out with three separate dinim. You have the din of Bishlo, cooking, which is from the first half of the daf, which is the case of Imapusot Kayemot and Akayemot. You have the din of Chavitza, which comes out of Rav Sheshet, and Rav's qualification of it being less than a kazayit, but it has to look like bread. And you have the case of Perurim, which we just had here from right before that in the Gemara with Rova, which is Bami Lechem Gadol. Over there, that it retains it. So those are three important dinim that come out of this. You might have nafkamina for croutons, bread croutons, and things like that that are made. Croutons that are not made from being fried up front, but rather taken from bread. You take stale bread and you make them into croutons. What's the status of that bread? That'll be, have a nafkamina based on what we just saw in the Gemara. Right, just quickly now, the next piece in the Gemara. Troknim, chayavin bechala. Troknim, chayat ravina rabbi yochanan, troknim, pturim minachala. This troknim is not chayavin chala, my troknim. What's the choknin here? I'm a bayek kuba da'aro. It's bed, as Rashi says, you go into the oven and you dig a hole in the ground. And then you pour water and flour into that. It's kumosho simbi ilfis, the way you do it in a pan. So the question here is, what did he do? Did he either just pour water and flour together and then he just leaves it in the hole and then heats it up that way? So there was no gvila, there was no govel. There was no kneading. Since there's no kneading, that's why the chokin is patur min achala according to that version. Or did he knead it, but it's not baked in the normal way? It's not baking the bread in the normal way. He's putting it into this hole in the ground, and that's what causes the problem here. So either way, the question is, does this have a status of bread or not have a status of bread? Is the lack of status of bread have to do with the fact that it was not kneaded? Or is that the fact that it's baked in a funny way? Now, the Gra, it's a girsa, and you can see that in the Gra, the elephant bed in the Gra, is that he takes out the girsa of choknim, paturim, and achala altogether, and he says everything is chaya b'chala, period. Right? Vamar by trita, tura min achala. This trita is paturim achala, my trita. Ikidamre govil mirateach. Ikidamre nema dehindika. So there are different opinions about what this is. One is gvil mirateach, Rashi says, nodim kemach umayim bikli. You put flour and water into a kli, ubochashim bikaf, then you mix it with a spoon, then you pour it onto the stovetop sheini seket when it's hot. Sounds like a pancake or something like that effect, some sort of pancake. Nehema de indika, Rashi says, batzeik shofim b'shipud. So a roasted dough. Put the dough on a spit And then you put it over the fire, and he says, Moshchim b'shemen or b'mei beitzim. And you baste it with oil or with egg. So there's one of those two things. Those are p'turim in a challah. Again, either because they're not kneaded, that's one of the possibilities here, or because they're baked in the end in a different way, either with oil or a different way, and therefore they don't classify as being challah. V'yigadamre, lechem asui l'kotach. Bread that is made for kotach is also, that's the definition of trita here, and that's p'tur min a challah. Kotach was a Babylonian dish that involved sour milk, bread crusts, and salt. So that kutach, you don't bake it in the oven. The bread's not baked in the oven, but rather it's baked in the sun. So since it's baked in the sun, it may not have a status of bread for challah. V'atan yochayav b'challah. Don't we have a bright that says yochayav b'challah? Hatam k'detani taima, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ma'aseha mochachin aleha. That the way it's made proves that it is bread. Because, asan ke'avin, if you made it thick, which would be the push-up shadow, but the word is, Rashi says, Avin arukal mekutefet, kegluskaot naot. He lays it out nicely, and he bastes it like cakes, then chayavin. Kilimudim, if he just throws it into a pan, kinisarim, like a board. Kilimudim is like a board. Lo ikpid al yisatan. It's not makpid on the way that it's laid out there. Then, they're pturim, because clearly it's not making it like bread. So the question is how you made the kotach. If you make the kotach in such a manner that it is looks like bread, and you're treating it like bread, then it's going to be chayav b'challah. If you make it in a way that seems to disregard any bread form, then you're going to be patur min achalah. Right, we read it according to Rashi. You can see over here that Tosafot, there's a long Tosafot that discusses differences in types of breads and types of items that are made when they have that status of challah or not. All right, stop here.